Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless your word today. Lord, be with my mind as I share it. Lord, help us to hear from your truth, something that we can apply to our lives and make a change. Holy Spirit, touch us, convict us, Lord, and help us to be ready, Lord, to be better servants for you and better ministers of your word. So, Father, I just pray you be with us this morning as we look to this word and this passage and understand, the awesome truth that's here. It's pretty amazing. So, Father, I just pray again that you would burden our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How are we doing this morning? All right, you know what's nice? Red Sox won the championship series, and they're going to the Super Bowl, listen to me, the World Series. Okay, and I love it. Ben, Matt was just bringing up that the game today shouldn't interfere with the morning service or this evening's special service down in Northfield because the game's at 1. And we love when the Patriots win. I was sharing, we had a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and they have this gentleman had a unique way of celebrating the Patriots football games. He would, every time there was a score, they ate a Cheez-It. It couldn't be a broken Cheez-It, had to be a solid, regular square Cheez-It. So whether it was a touchdown or a field goal, everybody in the room ate a Cheez-It. And they actually took one Cheez-It and threw it out in the yard. Okay, the funny little things we do, right? And we laugh, and say, oh, here we go, Pastor, we're talking about sports. But I want to talk about something that's created in us that God gave us as a desire, and that is we love to win. We have a competitive spirit. We're driven to win. How many of you like winning? You like losing? How many like losing? Okay. I mean, you learn how to do that, right? But most of us, when we get involved in doing something, we would like to win. Okay, well, I was Jeremiah and I were chatting a little earlier today how he has the world conqueror belt from our annual risk tournament that we have. You know, the official Bethel Bible Church world domination sanctioned risk game that we're involved in every year, and he presently is the conqueror of the world. So we like to win. We don't play risk and go, hey, I'll play, but who cares? I don't get on the basketball court. Okay, and say, well, I'm out here, you know, just, you know, what? You know why? Bob's here. I hate golf. I love golfing, but I hate golf. Because I want to win, and I can't do it. Of course, when you only play like once a year, no wonder you shank the balls into the woods, right? I've got a 300-yard drive and a 100-yard slice. It's brutal. My joke that I usually say is I shot a 31 the last time I went golfing. That's how many balls I lost, 31, you know. So I don't like playing golf because I don't do well. So I need to practice so I do better, okay? I like to win, okay? I like seeing the teams that I root for win. When my kids were in high school football or volleyball or soccer or track or anything else, I like to see them win. Okay, is that something you like? Okay, speaking of winning, I would have loved to have seen somebody I know win the almost $1 billion lottery. Okay? You ever think about winning? Well, God created us to desire to be winners. And sometimes in this world, and it makes me sick because we don't understand the desire that the world tries to take away from us, that we shouldn't have a competitive spirit, that everybody's a winner. We all get a trophy. Hogwash. It's a bunch of malarkey, and it is unbiblical. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. I'm not saying that. The Bible is saying that. And I want you to look at this today, this morning with me. Paul uses this example, and it's not a bad one. And he uses it over, and there's my Jersey accent. It's not a bad one, I said. It's not a bad example. Paul continuously uses sports and striving to win as an example in God's Word. It is something we should be trying our best to do. So what does Paul say? Did you see it with me? The end of verse 8, Paul has a desire. He wants to win. But there's something specific he wants to win. It's not the lottery. It's not a boxing match. It's not a race. It's not a sports event. Although Paul uses a lot of Olympic kind of language when he's talking. Look what he says. He says, I count all these things but dung that I may win Christ. Paul wants to win. And I think I looked at most of the hands that went up in here. We want to win. But the question I got to ask us today is, what do we want to win? What are you trying to win? Well, people's good. Okay, and we use that as a Christian phrase that we want to go out and win souls. Honestly, we're not winning anybody. It's Lord Jesus Christ who already won. But we use that phrase. But what do you and I? Now, I want to talk about this a little bit more. Now, what number one? Amen, that's what we're talking about. Paul says last week, remember we studied it, and the verse we just read, I count all those things in my life that the world looked to as a resume booster. Remember we talked about he was born, new teeth are coming in. Circumcised on the eighth day, and of the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, he was a Pharisee. He had credentials that anybody could be proud of. And Paul said, I count all those things as loss because I have one goal. I'm trying to win one event. I want to win Christ. So with that in mind, I want us to look up a few extra verses. Actually, look down a few verses. We're jumping into next week. Dan did it this morning too. We steal our own thunder, so we're going to look a little. Look at verse 12 through 14. 12 through 14. We're not going that far this week. We'll touch base on this next week. But not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, listen, there's a prize, and I'm trying to win. You like being a winner? Again, we're going to sit over there in a couple hours and root for the Patriots, for that 41-year-old goat, and have a good time doing it. Tuesday, the World Series will start, and we'll be rooting for the Red Sox and wanting our team to win because God has put that desire in us. Paul says, I got a desire. I want to win. And there's a prize I'm looking to win too. And as a matter of fact, I've put all those things in my past behind me. I don't even look back anymore. I'm reaching forward. Okay, you ever you got to bear with me. I'm a sports nut. Somebody who's on the basketball court, and he's a fantastic three-point shooter. But at the beginning of the game, he's missed one, two, three, four. He keeps missing the three-pointers. Okay, and there's two things you can do. One of them is good, and one of them is bad. as you're playing and you're one of the best in the league at shooting three-pointers and you start missing them, you can stop shooting them because, oh, I just keep missing. And I don't want to keep missing because then our team's not getting points. But if you understand anything about sports and listen to the coaching and watch the games, that's the worst thing to do. You keep shooting. You keep doing what you know you can do, and you put the ball in the air. Because if you stop shooting, you might as well just stop playing. You've got to continue. He said, Paul says, I press toward the mark. Now again, in our imagery, this is more of a race. My children, myself, my wife, we all ran track at some point in our lives. And I guarantee you, in some of the races when we were running, there was people in front of us. We weren't number one. We weren't in first place. But I'm not racing because I have people only behind me. I press toward the mark. You ever see one of these guys in the Olympics who's maybe third or fourth place, and all of a sudden the last lap comes in and they kick it into high gear, and all of a sudden they come up and they're now in first place because it didn't matter who was in front of them, they knew they were pressing toward a mark. They knew where the end of the race was, and that's what they were striving to go through. And guys, baseball players, and again, I'm sorry, this is sports, and you're going to have to talk to the Apostle Paul about this because he brought it up. Okay? When you are a baseball player and you hit a single, you are not running to first base. You are running past first base. You ever watch them? They don't run, and when they get to first base, stop on first base, because that means the last couple of steps you're running slower because you're going to stop at first. You're running past first base. Your goal is to fly past that. It's the same thing with the finish line. You don't run up to the finish line and break the tape. You want to run as fast as you can past finish line, through the goal. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I press toward the mark. I'm reaching continuously toward winning. Is that you and I? Let's flip around a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Keep your finger here. We will be back. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to touch base on this because I want us to see how much of a part of Paul's understanding of his life in Christ was centered around this idea of sports and winning. Hebrews chapter 12, we know this verse, but so often we don't put it in the context of what he's talking about here. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You could tell by looking at me, I am an amazing marathon runner. Okay, come on. I'm using it on purpose. I'm not pointing out anybody else. If I'm going to pick on somebody, it might as well be me. Okay, you can look at me and say, no, he may sprint and then need oxygen, but he probably doesn't run the marathon. Why? Because Paul makes a very interesting thing, comment here. And physically, we can see it in a picture. He says, to run a race, you need to lay aside every weight. If you're going to be effective at your sports activity, you're probably not going to carry around a lot of extra baggage. Now, Dan and I, we spoke in here. He likes going to do the Spartan stuff with some of the guys that do it. And the goal that they do is actually carry weight as a part of their sport. Okay, they're pushing up hills, all these big, you know, I watch them dragging tires up hills and all kinds of, I mean, the goal is to carry as much weight as possible. But Paul's talking about in a race as an Olympic runner, you want to have as little weight as possible. As a matter of fact, you watch now in the Olympics, they wear these funny aerodynamic things that have been scientifically designed to cut down wind thing, and they'll cut their hair bald or, you know, wear a cap and everything to try to make as they want as little distraction and weight upon them so that they can run the race as best as they can. Do you see what Paul's saying? He goes ahead in chapter 11 and lists out all the heroes of the faith that we have. By faith, Moses. By faith, David. By faith, you know, all these folks. And then he starts chapter 12. And he says, seeing that we are compassed about by such a greater cloud of witnesses, you and I should be putting aside every weight so we can run this race the best that we possibly can. Paul says, I press toward the mark. He says, that I may win. You want to win? I want to be a winner. I don't know about you. I love being a winner. That lottery ticket didn't work out so well, but I want to be a winner. What is it, up to 1.6 billion now by Tuesday? If anybody wins it, I want breakfast. Okay. In Tahiti. Anyway, okay. Look at the Galatians. Keep your finger here in Philippians. Galatians. I want us to see Paul continuing to use this example over and over. Galatians chapter 2. There's several here in Galatians. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul says, listen, I want you to understand, I'm doing this because I don't want my race to be run for nothing. I've got a goal. I've got a plan. I'm working it. Look, if you would, to chapter 5, verse 7. He's talking to them and he goes, listen, Galatians, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He says, man, I'm in this race. You guys are in this race too. He says, you guys were doing great. You were running well, but something got in your way. Now, you hearing what Paul's saying so far? Listen, I lay aside every weight. I press toward the mark that I may win Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Go back to the book of Philippians. We already read this several months ago when we were in this chapter. Chapter 2, verse 16. And again, our children have this verse backwards and frontwards in their brain. We have been involved with Word of Life for so long. Dan and Paulette went to the conference. They're going to be singing at the church down the hill. We do Word of Life clubs. Holding forth the Word of Life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Apostle Paul, again, reminding us what a sportsman mentality he had. He says, if I'm in this race, I don't want to be running it for nothing. I got a prize. Okay, now sometimes we do sports leisurely, I get it. But if I'm going to go play basketball and we're keeping score, and again, okay, I'm not going to get political. Yes, I am. Keep score, for crying out loud. Oh, we're all winners. Score doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. Because if you're really doing it for the right reason, you're competing. Because we want to win. Well, that's wrong. That causes competitive attitude. Yes, it does. And that's a good thing. Because each and every one of us should be doing what we're doing for a purpose. To win. You with me so far? Okay, got one of you. All right, good. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It gets better. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul uses the same theme here. Verse 24, we'll start there. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run ye that ye may obtain. Okay, notice there is a prize to be won. And we're all in the race. The Apostle Paul told the Galatians, man, who hindered you? You were running well. But he also says, so run ye that ye may obtain. Anybody got an English translation for that in common everyday kind of words? If you're going to run, run to win. Okay? Go for the goal, whatever you want to call it. If you're going to be in this race, run to win. Yep, and we'll be there in a minute. Okay, there is a prize. As a matter of fact, there's five of them that the Bible talks about, crowns. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I got it in my notes, so I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Do you run to obtain? Or are we just sort of in the background? Just puttering around. Maybe taking a break. I don't want to jump my notes again. Look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. What does that tell you? So Paul's saying, we're all running. You ought to be trying to run for a prize and not wasting time. It is a striving. What does that mean? Well, here's a better definition. It's a struggle. Now listen, I get a little upset at some of these things when you see about these Olympic people who train for the Olympics. And again, we talk about it in our country, but you know, like China, they go and take those kids when they're like 5 and 6 years old and take them away from their parents. And they spend their entire life at a facility training them to be Olympic athletes. Okay, that's pushing it a little bit, but the idea is if you are going to win at the top of your game, you have got to make an effort. Okay, if there was a marathon scheduled tomorrow, I would not go try to run in it. Now, does that mean I could never run a marathon? No, I probably very much well could, but not right now. It takes a long time. Even if you are an amazing runner and you run every day, there's special training that it takes. You got to prep. There's weeks of preparation to get to the race, and then there's weeks of preparation after you run the race just to be able to run. It is a struggle. It takes effort. And the Bible says here, temperance. You know what temperance is? Self-control. Man, I'm about to run that marathon tomorrow. I'm dying for a Big Mac, large fry, and a McFlurry. I'm not going to do that because I know I've got a race tomorrow. I ask the question again. Are we striving? Are we temperate? Are we trying to win? Are we running our race? Now, again, I look around, and none of us are probably, I see Jeremiah and Samuel and some of that, but most of us are probably out of the race-running age group when it comes to physically. But that's not what Paul's talking about. There's a race that you and I are still running, and we don't stop running it unless we choose to. Continue on, this verse 25. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now, this is beyond my understanding because I can't tell you what the prize actually consists of. But do you know how much effort people put into winning the Super Bowl, getting a gold medal in the Olympics? We could sit here and talk for a while about how much effort is put into that, right? Yes? You and I think we know the level of training that it takes to get to that point. And Paul says, these folks do that for a crown that's corruptible. It's earthly. It's a piece of gold hung on a string or a trophy that sits in the stadium. You and I believers, we're striving for an incorruptible crown, something that is everlasting, something that is eternal. Are we putting the same kind of effort in comparison to what those athletes put? Do you see what Paul's saying? He says there's a struggle, there's temperance. It takes a lot to run this race. And these folks are doing it for something that's really not going to last. You and I have the effort and the ability to strive toward winning something that will last forever. I wonder how we're doing. Look at verse 26. I therefore run, not as uncertainly, or uncertainly, yes. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You ever sit down? I like watching some of these shows sometimes about what it takes to train. Okay, to be either a weightlifter or a runner, Olympic athlete, things like that. Tom Brady's one of those ones right now. And the only reason I bring it up is because they talk about it forever. He's got the Brady diet. He's got the Brady workout plan. He's got his own personal, you know, trainer that works with him personally. He has a very regimented eating plan. He has a very regimented training plan. He has a very, very regimented. And guys, it is laid out 18 months to 2 years in advance. He could tell you what he's going to be eating, working out, and his regimen in March of next year on a specific day. He's got a plan. Now, the only reason I'm telling, I'm not going to say, "Whoa, Brady, so." You hear what Paul's saying? He says, "I'm not one who's doing this like someone who's uncertain. I have a plan." Not only that, he says, I'm not doing it as somebody who's just beating the air. He uses a boxing thing here. He says, I'm not just swinging at nothing. If I'm going to do this, I want my punches to land. I'm not one who's just doing it as a waste of time. There's a purpose for what I'm doing. I got to say this, and it's going to sting, and it stings me just as much. We're trying to run a race for an incorruptible crown that we may win Christ, because we're in a race that we ought to be striving for a prize. We ought to be wanting to win. But some of us can't even pick up our Bible daily and read it. Some of us can't spend a little time in prayer on a daily basis. Could you imagine an Olympic athlete looking at his coach and saying, I don't feel like working out today. As a matter of fact, this whole week, maybe once or twice. If we're in this to win, because we're in a race and we're striving for a incorruptible crown that lasts forever, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think we could put a little effort toward it, don't you? But we've gotten to the point where we're really cushy in America. And we're really cushy as Christians. And it ain't just, I'm not preaching at you. I'm hearing this with you. And again, I am not talking about Bible talks. Let me make this clear. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. There is a profit, but not compared to what we're talking about today. Next part, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it as subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, I want to make sure we see this real careful. This is important. It doesn't say, I keep my body under. And sometimes that's Christians' problems. We think if we deny ourselves certain things, I got to not do this. That doesn't help an Olympic winner run, does it? No. You don't win by sitting on your couch going, I'm not going to eat nasty food, and I'm not going to... denying your flesh isn't what makes you strong. what makes you strong is, it says, I keep under my body, meaning I'm pushing it all the time. That 4 o'clock alarm goes off and you got to go out and run your 2 miles and your body says, I'm so tired. And you say, I don't care, get up. It's time to get moving. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Well, why spiritually is that not an issue? Paul says, listen, I'm not interested in beating down my body. I'm interested in pushing it to the next level. Now, keep the theme, please. Paul says, I count all those things about my flesh and who I am as loss. None of those things matter. I'm pushing this body because I want to win. There's a prize, and I'm striving for it. And I'm not going to let anything stop me, including this old body, this old flesh. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pushing. As a matter of fact, we read in the verse, and we'll be back there in a minute, that Paul says that I may attain unto the resurrection. This for our Wednesday night crew, and again, you know, sometimes where you and I as Christians struggle is because Jesus' work for salvation took 3 parts, death, burial, and resurrection. But you know where sometimes Christians focus on? The death and burial. The penalty for sin and the dying of the flesh. But we forget about the resurrection. It's the rising up and moving on from that point. You know, I can sit in bed, I can sit on my couch all day and say, man, I'd love to run a marathon. It would be so great to win a marathon. I'm just picking a marathon because it fits, okay? What a great, you know what? I can talk about it, think about it, read about it all day long. But until I get this body off the couch and start actually doing something toward that goal, it probably ain't never going to happen. You got to tell this body, get up, boy, and go take the first couple of steps. You may run a quarter mile and die, but you ain't going to run 26 if you don't get out off the couch. Paul says, I keep under my body. I'm pushing myself all the time. You with me so far? Paul says, I'm not listening to this body, this flesh. And you guys know it. I mean, on a side level, we would get up for work. How many of you always like getting up in the morning? Oh, Charlie Minkler went home. He's the only one. Charlie Minker gets up at 4:30 because the world, I don't know, it's 4 o'clock, let's get a coffee, you know. Yeah. I tell you what, when I was doing construction, you know, and beating myself down every day, I'd get up in the morning and go, I'm not wanting to get out of bed. Especially on days like this when it's just starting to get cold and you start to pull those covers off and you're like, nah, I think I'll just stay right here. But you know what we have to do, right? You say, nope, it is time for me to get up and get doing what I got to do. Paul says, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. I push it. It does not run my life. I run. Okay. 2 Timothy. We'll be back to Philippians, I promise. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And this is a very familiar verse that we use about the Apostle Paul, but listen. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, listen, I can see it. My life is just about over. I can see the handwriting on the wall. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Do you see Apostle Paul? He knows he's running a race. He's striving to win. But the race ends when his life ends. Now, you know, it kind of bugs me when I moved down to Florida for a short time. It was amazing to me how many Christians I ran into down there who were retired. I don't know why I put retired in quotes. They were really retired. I should have put Christians in quote. Because all of a sudden, they're not going to church anymore. They're not serving the Lord anymore. They're not doing anything for God because they're retired. Because they thought when they stopped working physically in a job, that meant they were done working for the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, listen, when I get to the end of my life, that's when I've finished my course. That's when my race is run. That's when I cross the finish line. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul says, you know what? There's a prize. I've been striving for it all my life. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But catch this. Not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You know what's an amazing thing? You and I, we can run the race to win a prize. But I'm not running against you. I'm running against me. We're not in competition with each other. Paul's not saying, listen, you know, because you know how discouraging. There's one gold medal in an Olympic event, right? The Apostle Paul says, listen, I've won the race. I know there's a crown of righteousness. And the rest of us could go, oh, well, Paul won the crown of righteousness. Why don't we try? No, there's a crown for everyone who will run. You just got to run. You got to be in the race. Now go back to Philippians chapter 3, please, because I want to address one or two things just as we finish looking at this passage. I want to clarify something that might be a question. Some people use this verse in an improper way, and I want to make sure that we look at it. Verse 11, he says, that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And some people will say, see, the Apostle Paul is running to the end of his life so that he would be saved for salvation. Unless you run and reach the end of your race, you won't get the resurrection from the dead. First of all, I want to bring, we can break down the Greek here, but I want to just look at the English for a minute. He doesn't say that I may obtain resurrection from the dead, which he's already used that in a couple of the verses. When you obtain something, it means you get it, right? Okay, I obtained it, it's mine. I get it. That's not the word he uses here. He says attain. It's a different word. The word attain means to arrive at, to live up to, or here's a good way, to reach the finish line. Paul says, I'm not trying to obtain it, I'm trying to attain. There was at one point when I was running, I was running a relay, and I pulled my hamstring. And I was running an anchor leg of that thing, and I pulled a hamstring, and I was gimping bad. It hurt. Oh, I was dying. But you know what? And you see it in exhausted marathon runners. You see it in a lot. You want to cross the finish line. You don't want to. You see what people doing hurdles, and they fall and crash on a hurdle, and you see them hurt themselves, but you see they push. They want to cross the finish line. They're like, I'm in this race, and I don't care if it kills me, but I'm crossing the finish line. How many of you remember the images of back in the 80s where that that woman was running the marathon and basically fell down, and she lost basically all bodily control, and she was basically crawling, bloody-kneed, the last couple hundred yards of the marathon, because she wasn't going to win time-wise, but she wanted to cross the finish line. It wasn't satisfying to stop 300 yards from where she was headed. She pushed as hard as she could. And remember, somebody from the crowd, one of the other racers that had already finished, ran back down there and helped her get up and run the rest of the way. If you want to call it running, she basically limped her way across. That's what the Apostle Paul's saying here. He says, I'm running this race, and I want to attain unto the resurrection. I want to run until I cross the finish line. You ever remember any of those racers that run the marathon? You heard about them. They started the marathon, then they took the subway, and then they came out later on down the course and ran the rest of it. You remember that? It was in the newspaper. The Apostle Paul says something interesting here, and I want us, you and I, to see this. Verse 10 of Philippians, he says, that I may know him. He says, I want to win Christ. And how? That I may... That's not the verse I want. Wait. There it is. And being found in him. I want to be found in him. Now listen, that is not Paul questioning whether that's he's in him. He wants to be found in him. I never did it. I was a sprinter. My wife ran cross country. But I remember during practice, and you see them here, kids around here running cross country. They run all over the streets and everything. And the coach often drives around or you know, people, spotters, just to make sure the kids are doing well. And if you're cross country running, you know, you have a goal. You're supposed to be running that long distance. And what's funny is when you see some of the high school kids who are supposed to be running cross country, leaning up against a tree, taking a break. You know, nothing wrong with a break, but they're not in the race, are they? They've actually taken a step out of the race. You know what Apostle Paul's saying? I'm in this race, and I want to be found in the race. If my coach comes looking for me, or one of the judges, one of the officials overlooking this sport, I want to be in. I don't want them showing up going, I thought Paul was running in this race. I want to be found in him. Where are you and I? Are we still in the race? Now, I know our name's on the list. At the finish line, there's somebody going, I want to check the time for this Fisher kid. He's supposed to be crossing the finish line. I'm not sure where he's at. Should have been here a couple of minutes ago. I wonder where he is. Is he going to finish his race? I wonder if he's out of the race. Did he just stop? You with me? Come on. Paul uses this imagery very, very vividly. He says, I'm pressing toward that mark. There's a prize. I want to cross the finish line. And I want to be found in him. If the officials come looking and people are watching, I don't want to be sitting on the sideline taking a break. I want to be running. Are you and I running? Are we pushing? Are we keeping under our bodies? Are we being temperate? Are we striving? Paul wanted to win. Couple things and we'll be done early. Where's Jenny? She's not even here. Okay. Notice what it also says. Being found in him, not in mine own righteousness, or the righteousness that is by the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. I'm going to stop just for a minute because we talked about this on Wednesday night. Do you realize that our entrance into the family of God, our forgiveness of sins, our restored relationship with God and our eternity in heaven is based upon the faith of Christ? Not faith in Christ. Because you know what? If we were depending on our faith, I don't have strong enough faith. Do you? Anybody ever doubt your faith? When the devil comes in your mind and goes, you don't have enough faith. Well, that's fine because it's not based on my faith. It's based upon his faith. The faith of Christ. There's a bunch of verses. I'm not even going to take the time to read them. But Romans chapter 3, just before he talks about all have sinned and come glory short of the glory of God. Look at, if you would, to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. And I could spend a lot of time going over these verses because there are many of them. But Romans chapter 3, verse 22, and I want to be done with this. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. He says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Paul says, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's Jesus' faith. He came down and did exactly what he and the Father had worked out as a plan, and that's it. He trusted that that would work. All we have to do is put our faith in him and his faith. All right, last little bit. So how do we run this race? Now, I watch some of these sports people play. Matter of fact, I was talking about it last week. I'll talk about it again this week. Dancing with the Stars. Now, what is kind of cute about Dancing with the Stars is you get to see people you might not have seen in a while. Mary Lou Retton is on there. You remember little Mary Lou Retton? Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics. She's one of the people that's there. Want to know something interesting I didn't realize? She won that Olympic gold medal after blowing out her knee, and the doctors told her she couldn't do anything for about 6 months. 6 weeks after her surgery, she was in the Olympics performing. 6 weeks. They basically told her she'd be lucky if she could walk after 6 weeks. But she pushed herself because that was her goal. Her mind had set on a prize, and nothing was going to stop her. It takes a tremendous amount of effort. And look what it says here, that I may know him. There's three parts to this, and it's kind of neat. The power, the person, the power, and the passion. Number one, that I may know him. That's the goal. Remember what the Apostle Paul started? We started this whole discussion out with, Paul says, that I may win Christ. My goal is Jesus, that I may know him. And you know what this word is, and this is interesting. In the Greek, it's the same word where it said, and Joseph knew Mary as husband and wife. Okay, it doesn't mean, oh yeah, I can tell you verses about Jesus in the Bible. I know all about him. I've studied him since I was a little kid. It is not about head knowledge. It is intimacy in a personal relationship. That is what this means. Paul says, I want to win Christ. I grew up as a Pharisee. If there's anything about the scripture and the Messiah and all those things, and Paul was the one who opened up most of the revelation of the New Testament and our understanding of what Christianity is. Paul knew that stuff. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to have an intimate relationship with him. That's part of winning the race. Number two, it says, and the power of his resurrection, right? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This old body doesn't want to do this race. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, yeah, Linda and I haven't seen her much, but we'd be down at the old, not Gold's Gym, the one down there, the purple one. Okay, Planet Fitness. Okay, on the treadmill. Going, I got 15 minutes. I don't want to do 15 minutes on the treadmill. But we do it, and we push, because it's what has to. You know what? So many times, we as Christians want to focus on the negative, how hard it is, and stop realizing what we're looking toward. Do you realize this word power in the Greek is the same word dynamite? It's the same word we get. That you understand the kind of power that is in God's resurrection that he's given us access to? I no longer have to listen to this flesh. I can live in the power of the resurrection. I can say, shut up, flesh. I used to be chained. I used to be put down. Ephesians chapter 2, I used to be on the course of this world. I used to listen to and be enslaved by the prince and the power of this air. Not anymore. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ says, buried in the likeness of his death, that old man's put to death and raised to walk in a newness. You and I understand the power we have to run this race? Pastor, I'm so tired. Yeah. It's a striving. It's a struggle. But you know what? It takes so much effort. Yeah, a lot of self-control. Might mean you have to get up early so you can read your Bible. Might mean you have to set some time aside to pray. Talk about the Lord. You may have to change your lifestyle a little bit and not be Christian couch potatoes. Because here's the key. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. You want to talk about an elite club? Guys, on Wednesday night we talk about the back in some churches and some design systems. They have only an elite group that can be a part of God's plan. You know, and you common folks can't, but we elite folk in the church, you know, clergy and those are, we're the chosen people. You want to join in an elite club that we be in the fellowship of his suffering. Now that's not a resume booster on my list. But if you understand what we're talking about, my brother and his wife, she's passed now, but they like running marathons. Whether it was a 5K or a half marathon or full marathon, and they would get together with friends who also run marathons. And they would speak of their marathon and speak of their running. And it began to turn into a different language to me. Yeah, I get up every morning, I was doing this, and I got to do this and that and the other. And all of a sudden, I'm going, because they had a special bond. Because they knew what it was like to push their bodies to that point. They knew what it was like to have the shin splints and all the other issues and stuff. They understood what it was like to have that almost famished kind of bodily reaction where your body just puts out everything. You got nothing left. And I'm in the background going, yeah, know what you're talking about. No, I didn't. I'm going, sounds interesting. They had a special fellowship. They had a special link because they knew what it was like to strive at that kind of level. You understand what God's saying? Paul says, listen, that you may know him, be intimate with him, that you can understand the power that is there in access, but you can also understand the fellowship of what it is to push the body past when it doesn't want to serve God anymore, when it doesn't want to race anymore, when we say, you know what, I'm not listening to you, flesh, anymore. I am going to run this race till the very end. Being made conformable unto his death. There's a whole other sermon there. I'm not going to preach it. But Paul says many times, I die daily. That we are to crucify this flesh. That we are to mortify the deeds of this body. It is not in control. But you know what the problem is? Me, Craig, I give it control. How about you? Come on. There have been times where I know I should get up and do something. And it could be work. It could be meeting with somebody. It could be just like, you know, I want to get up early today and get things going. And you wake up, you open that one eyeball, you look over at the clock. Hey, you know what? I'll do that a little later. I'll do it. Nah, that's all right. Well, they won't miss me. Now, as silly as that sounds, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this imagery. If you and I are going to run the race to win, and that's our goal, you can't have that kind of lifestyle. We've got to have a lifestyle that says, I don't care what this body wants me to do. I'm in a race. So I got to ask you a question again, then we'll be done. Do you want to win? That's not a hard question. I think everybody should have answered one. Preachers love to do that. I know what the answer should be. Do you want to win? Yes. Yeah, so people don't want to answer it because they're going, crud, because now he's going to tell me what I have to do to win. Come on, but listen, are you listening to me? I can't tell you how many times as a coach, because I coach softball, I coach baseball, I coach other, that you say, do you guys want to win? No, coach. Good, then I quit. I'm not coaching a team that doesn't want to win. Do you guys want to win? Yeah, coach! Good. Run a lap. Man, I can't stand running. That might be true, but it's how you're going to win. Church, now I'm talking... Where? How can I do this? Let me... I want to come down here. Do we want to win? I don't want to stand up there like I'm the boss. Guys, we're all in this together. Now, I'm not racing you, you're not racing me. We're trying our best for God. But the question is, are we? Are we looking at this life like, I see the finish line. I know where I'm headed. I'm stretching toward the mark. I am pushing myself. I haven't sat down yet. I'm not on the sideline. You know what? But coach, can we rest? You can rest after. The Bible talks about we have a millennial of rest coming. That rest is when we get on the other side. Paul says, under God's leadership, we're running a race. We're running a race.
Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm 60, 70,
9 million years old. You're still here. You're still running the race. Run with me. And now, you know what happens. And I've been there. They were all running together. And this is why I'm asking you. This is why I'm down here. And all of a sudden, there's six or seven of you running. And all of a sudden, now there's only six of you. Where'd Bill go? Back there. And you got, come on, Bill, let's go. Yep. How many times, Linda? You know, we go. I like working out with somebody. Pastor May and I used to go work out together. Why? Because when you get a spotter, you ever see these guys? Come on, I'm not one of those meatheads, but you know, I pick things up, I put them down. But you get a spotter, and he's like bench pressing 120 pounds. And he's like, three, four, you know, and they're like, give me one more. Come on, come on, do it. Where me, I've probably been done by now. Four was enough. But that person standing there going, come on. One more. And you blow out a vein in the side of your neck, you know, and you get that one more, and you both stand up and give each other high fives. Yes! Guys, that's the kind of thing we need to do for each other. If we're running this race, and we want to push to the end, and sometimes you may look around and somebody's, that seventh person is a half mile back, grab a hold of them, go back and get them. Come on, man, one more. Look, the finish line's right there. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know you're limping. I know you're hurting. I know you're cramping. A little bit further. A little bit further. There is a prize, and we should be trying to win. We shouldn't be coasting across the finish line. Paul says, listen, I got a prize. I'm stretching toward it. I'm pushing myself. Everything about me. You know what? I'm ready to do it. My time is on. I've fought a good fight. I'm finishing my course. I've kept the faith. Let's keep racing. Amen? Let's pray.